The Alamo, March 5th, 1836. By the way, I'm a big history buff. Anybody a big history buff along with me? I actually did hear about you, and I didn't know. We have to talk history sometime, Timmy. And I saw Sam's hand. Who else is a big history buff? There's a few of you. I did the best in history, so that was my favorite subject in high school, in college, and even biblical history in my master's work at Abilene Christian University. I love, love, love history. So this is not a picture of the Alamo on March 5th, 1836, because there's not a ticket line in front of the Alamo then. But on March 5th, Colonel William Barrett Travis. And I think it's important when we study history to sometimes look at the details, because that's a telltale sign of really what's happening. He had just graduated from law school, and he was only 26 years old, the colonel in charge of 200 men at the Alamo. And they were now, on this morning, surrounded by nearly 2,000 Mexican soldiers, 1,800 and change to be exact. Being far outnumbered, Colonel Travis drew with a sword a line in the sand. And he asked the men, he said, "Men, I'm not asking for your commitment. I'm asking for your life right now in order to protect the great state of Texas and our freedoms. I want every man that's willing to give their life to step across this line." And he drew that line pretty long in order for all those men to be able to cross that line. One man crossed and another man crossed. Davy Crockett was one of those men that crossed. Every man crossed that line in the course of 5 minutes, except for two. A Frenchman who was a hired gun, he's like, "This isn't my battle," and he actually snuck out and actually did make it out of there. So good for him, but not really that good. And then one other guy, James Bowie. Jim Bowie had been so hurt by a prior battle earlier in the week that he was bleeding, he was broken, he was bloodied, he was laying on a cot, and he looks up and said, "Two of you better grab this cot and get me across that line." And of course, two of the men quickly did. So every man crossed that line. And what were they submitting to? They were submitting their lives. They were submitting to death. Scripture tells us that no greater love has a man than this, than to give up his life for another. And those men were willing to give up their lives and sacrifice themselves for freedom, for Texas. Of course, they lost that battle. The Mexicans took over. And shortly thereafter, 2 weeks later, Sam Houston comes to the rescue with a lot more men from Texas and defeats the Mexican army and secures freedom for Texas there at the border. A great story. Why did I tell that? Well, we're going to be talking about submission tonight. And we're going to approach it the way Scripture approaches it. John 8, 1 through 11. Kennedy? Right on time. You said you'd be running late. You just sat down. Read for us John 8, 1 through 11. Everybody turn their Bibles together to John 8, 1 through 11. And if you are new, I know there's several people that I've seen that are new here. I see a bunch of our alumni in the back. Hello. Welcome back. I know why you guys are here. It's almost wedding time for our friend Travis and Brittany. We're excited for them this Saturday. We're going to read this, and then we're going to jump into, in just a little bit, Ephesians and the latter half of Ephesians chapter 5. We've been working our way through Ephesians. Mark is here, and I just realized I asked Mark to come do opening prayer, and I'd still like you to do that. So if you'll come on up and open us up in prayer. Mark was not supposed to be here. He was supposed to be in Guyana, and he was supposed to be gone this week and next week. So he's going to tell you why he's not in Guyana, and he's going to pray for us as we get into the study in Ephesians, and also John.
really, I got into a time machine and I showed up 2 weeks later, 2 weeks early. So here we are.
Awesome.
I saw a sign the other day. Somebody was protesting. And they said, what do we want? Time travel. When do we want it? Irrelevant. So it's good to see you guys tonight. We passed our COVID test. We went to file our COVID test, and additional restrictions have been put in place. The United States government is now telling U.S. citizens do not travel to Guyana. So for right now, I'm here.
But they didn't tell you that before you went to the airport.
No, we didn't make it to the airport. We that was online. Nobody in the country told us down in Guyana, so it was just it was a mess. So I apologize that I'm here, but I'm not apologizing for being here. There's a reason we weren't supposed to go. But so hopefully we can get things worked out for our medical mission trip in the spring, but we just don't know. We don't know yet. So anyway, was there something else you wanted me to? Oh, I know what I want to talk about, the small groups. Got how many of you want forgiveness? Okay, there's some perfect people that don't need forgiveness, apparently. How many of you struggle with forgiving others? How many of you have ever struggled with forgiving God for circumstances you're in? There's a great study we're going to have in our small groups. A dear friend of mine put the study together. His name is Dan Winkler, and it's called Forgiving, Forgiven, and Free. And it's phenomenal. And it is so practical because it tells you how to forgive yourself, how to forgive others, and how to forgive God if that's a hang-up that you have. So you guys, if you haven't signed up for a group, sign up for one. I'm going to be hosting a group here at the building if you want to come to the building on Sunday nights during the small groups. So however you can get involved in one of those groups, I would highly recommend that you do that. Because
College students, I wanted to let you guys know, too, commitment-wise, it's every other week.
Yeah.
So you'd only be doing it twice a month, in case you're wondering, like, but I already do small group, and I do this, and I do this, and I do this. So it's
first and third. Yeah. So if there's a fifth Sunday, there's no meeting on that night either. It's just first and third Sunday nights for this study. But we'd love to have you guys be a part of that. It would energize us, but it'd also be a great benefit to you, because unlike some people like me and Donnie, with half a century behind us, you guys have a whole lot more ahead of you. And if you can live that forgiving and being forgiven and being free, you're going to have a much greater impact for Christ. But if you've only got a year left to live, don't you want to make sure that you're forgiven and you have a forgiving heart? Certainly you do. So I'm encouraging you guys to be a part of that. Let's go ahead and pray as we get ready for tonight's study. Holy Father, you are a great and awesome God, and we love you so much. We thank you for giving us this opportunity to come together as your people, to enjoy our fellowship with one another, to study from your precious word, and to learn more about how you would have us to live in this community that you've brought us into. Help us to understand our place individually in this community, but also how our place impacts all the others around about us. And help us to submit to one another in the fear of your Son, knowing how he submitted to you in coming to this earth, who was not responsible for sin, but took the responsibility upon himself and took it to the cross, who died for us. And help us to see that example that he gives us and apply that example in our lives, Father, that we may truly be your children and effective in walking this Christian walk. I ask you to be with Donnie and with Chris tonight as they tag team this lesson. May they say the things that we need to hear, not just what we want to hear. And may the things that we need to hear, Father, find a happy and effective home in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Would somebody with a mic please give it to Kennedy? Not that you're not loud enough, Kennedy, but it's being recorded, so we want to make sure that it is recorded. So Virginia is going to run you a mic. And if you would read for us, so we can all follow along in John chapter 8, verses 1 through 11.
But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Early in the morning, he came again to the temple. All the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery, and placing her in the midst, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman has been caught in the act of adultery. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. So what do you say?" This they said to test him, that they might have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger on the ground. And as they continued to ask him, he stood up and said to them, "Let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her." And once more he bent down and wrote on the ground. But when they heard it, they went away one by one, beginning with the older ones. And Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. Jesus stood up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, sin no more."
Thank you, Kennedy. Read that last verse again, verse 11.
And Jesus said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, sin no more."
Neither do I condemn you. Go now and leave your life of sin, is what my translation says. Jesus was asking this woman to submit to what? To submit to repentance. To submit to him. To submit to God. To change her life. To give it over to him. He did not want to condemn her. These people came with a wrong heart. And Jesus called them out on it. Is that what the law of Moses said? To stone this woman? That's absolutely what the law of Moses said. But these people's heart were absolutely in the wrong place. And Jesus calls them out on it. So Jesus is asking the people to submit to humility, to not judging, and to giving people an opportunity to come to repentance. And he's asking this woman to leave her life of sin and give it all over to him. So one aspect of submission here. Question for you guys. What did Jesus submit to for you? What did Jesus Christ submit to for each and every one of us? Witchell, if you would. Is Witchell here yet? All right, Witchell. All right, very good. If Kennedy, if you can get the mic over to Witchell. And Witchell, if you'll read for us, and if everybody would turn together to Philippians 2, verses 1 through 11. Philippians 2, 1 through 11. Paul tells us how to act here in submission to him as he gives the perfect example of Jesus and what he submitted to for each and every one of us. Witchell? All right.
"Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in
very..." I must stop you there for a moment. Have the same mindset of Christ Jesus. And we read this word humility again. In humility, consider others better than yourselves. That's the rest of the church. That's your brothers and sisters in Christ. That's everybody we come across. Giving people an opportunity to see that humility, to see God's grace and mercy working in your life, and giving an opportunity as we point people towards the cross of Christ, what Christ did for us in submission. So keep going, Witchell. Don't forget what Mark said a month ago in this class. The three greatest things we can clothe ourselves with, as we read earlier in Ephesians, is humility, humility, and humility. And I also shared that in a sermon a couple weeks ago. That's the most important thing we can do, is to humble ourselves and give our lives completely over to Christ so we can point others in the right direction. Go ahead, Mitchell.
Who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used for his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen.
Thanks, Mitchell. So I'm going to ask you, what did Jesus submit to for you? And yes, I'm looking for verbal answers. Yes, death on the cross. And what does Jesus ask us to do? He asks his people to take up his cross, to take up our crosses daily, and to follow him. We've got something to submit to. I'm setting up the framework here as we move into Ephesians, the fifth chapter, and it's up here if you want to turn your Bibles to verse 21. And as you guys are turning there, the word submit means to accept or yield to an authority or their will by choice. And in the Greek, submission means straightforward yielding to God through Christ. Yielding to God's will through Christ Jesus. All right, let's read this together. So this sets up submission. Ephesians 5, verse 21. Submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. That's our job as God's people, is to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And I'm going to talk about that point in just a little bit in more detail. But as we keep going, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, your job? Love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. All right, two questions for you guys. What does Paul specifically say about the way a husband should treat his wife? How is a husband to treat his wife? To love her. How? Yes, that's correct. But what does the scripture say here? The same way Jesus loved the church and what? That's right, and gave his life for it. Ladies, look for a man that's going to love you in this way. This is the kind of guy that you want in your life. And how does Christ love his church? I'm asking you guys, how does Christ love you, his church? Yes, every day. But how does he love the church?
He sacrificed for us.
Correct. He sacrificed for us. How else does Christ love his church? We know he loves us every day. We know he loves us sacrificially, unconditionally. How else does Christ love his church? Well, I'm going to share a few answers that I wrote down. He saved you. He leads you daily, as Robbie said. He loves you sacrificially, as someone else said. He's a perfect example of love for God to you. You want to know how to love God? Look at Jesus. Look at our Savior. Look at the Son. And in humility, he gave everything for you to be saved. Second question for you guys, and this is a bit of a loaded question, so make sure you answer correctly, especially any guy that answers, okay? And here's the loaded question. You ready for this? Should a husband submit to his wife? I see an elder, Ramon, shaking his head. And how should a husband submit to his wife? I see David raising his hand. Hang on, David. I want Ramon to answer first. David, what do you got? Speak loud. Yeah. Right. Our job, men, husbands, is this. Verse 25. Husbands, again, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So how is a husband submitting to his wife? Well, we're submitting to her need to feel loved and cared for as God intended. That's the submission, okay? That's the kicker. So all this submission is set up in the framework of how Christ loved his church. And that's the kind of man you should want to follow, ladies. And that's the way we should lead men in that same way. And if it steps on her feet, good, it should, because that's what God calls us to. We had a great Sunday night this past Sunday night. We had a testimony night. Timmy led a great devotional as he shared with us what it means to share our testimony. And we had so many of you students and postgrads that shared your testimony, that shared the difference God is making in your life. What you did not submit to Sunday night is pride and not saying anything or sharing the difference God made in your life or continues to make in your life. What you did submit to was humility, sharing the difference God is continually making in our lives through Christ Jesus, sharing how he's changed our lives, and giving each person here a chance to point others in the direction of the cross of Christ. That's what we had Sunday night. It was awesome and a great definition of submission as well, submitting to one another. Chris Suggs, come on up. It is your turn. Chris, I'm going to ask you, is Candace here tonight?
She's not.
Okay. So you're a little bit safe. But would you share with us as you take over, this and the rest of the chapter of chapter 5, would you share with us how you love Candace as Christ loves his church?
Thank you, Donnie. And we'll start by saying you look very nice tonight. Shirt tucked in. So you're wearing your Tampa Bay shirts. I'm a Falcons fan, so we always go back and forth. His team's doing a lot better than mine. But my favorite accessory is your glasses tonight. I'm really enjoying those, Donnie.
They are from the Dollar Tree.
I figured. So before I go into that, I want to go a little spiel about marriage. I want to start out by saying, choose your partner wisely. I'm going to say that again. Choose your partner wisely. Prior to marriage, talk about anything and everything. Go to marriage counseling. Definitely 100% do that. You may recognize this bald guy up here. And right to the right of him is Candace, my beautiful wife. We did go through counseling. We've been married right at 4.5 years right now. And it has not always been rosy. I am not going to tell you that marriage is easy. I will be the last person to tell you that marriage is easy. It is tough. It is challenging. Literally, and I mean literally, from day one, honeymoon went like this. And it crashed and burned day one. In the 4.5 years we've been married, there have been endless fights. We have dealt with deaths. We've dealt with cancer of relatives. I feel like we have lived 40 years in 4.5 years. It has been a struggle. Now, I hope your journey is not like ours. I hope and pray it has not been like ours. Now, because we chose wisely, we have gotten through this. We've often said, how do people who are not a Christian, don't have a church body, how do they make it? And I think we see that by we see the divorce rates. Now, I'm not saying the divorce rate in the church is any better. It's a little better. It's still bad and horrible. But when you look at outside the church, the divorce rate is astronomical. So I'm going to start by saying, choose wisely. How Candace and I, we do submit to each other. I love her. I cherish her. I get home before her most nights. I do most of the cooking, unfortunately for her, because I'm a terrible cook, but just the way things work out, I constantly say, I would do anything for you, including sacrifice my life. We have a great relationship. Like I said, there are struggles. Remember that when you get married, there will be struggles. If it doesn't come year one, year two, it may be year 10. But struggles are going to happen, whether they be financial, family, whatever they may be. So choose that partner wisely. Up here, I was going to read that. Donnie, can we go back one? Nope, back. There we go. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Now, was Jesus a weak individual? I'm not led to believe that Jesus was a weak individual. He was a strong person. He was the Son of God. He could have done anything. When he was being crucified, when he was being mocked, he could have done anything. He was not a weak individual whatsoever. But he chose, as Donnie gave the example of what submission is, it was his choice to sacrifice like he did. If we can go into the next section here, Donnie. All right, so here we are in Ephesians chapter 28 through 33. So we're going to start off here in verse 28. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. Now, I see some men in here who've not done that. A little pudgy, not taking care of yourself. I'm kidding, guys, if you're married. But to husbands, love their wives as their own body. What do we want to do with our bodies for the most part? We want to stay healthy. If we get sick, we go to the doctor. If our belts are getting a little snug, what do we want to do? We want to lose a little weight. Candace and I are very open and honest with each other. I don't do this to her, but she will do it to me. She'll say, you know, things aren't looking the same like they used to, Chris, which means you better get in our home gym and start doing something. She's been very adamant lately. We had a baby a few months ago. So she's really trying to lose that baby weight right now. Been very diligent. I'm very proud of her. She keeps giving me her weight each day, and I'm saying, you don't have to do this, but I'm on your team. Let's do this. So continuing on. He who loves his wife loves himself. Obviously, to love someone else, you have to love yourself. It starts there. Reading this, it's funny. This was written years ago. In 2021, we could just do a whole class on the psychology of this passage right here, especially as we're going on here with bodies now, with bulimia, with anorexia, with reverse anorexia, with so many things that are going on, we could go into that. We're not going to go into that. I was just thinking about that as it's 2021 and how things are different. We're going to move forward in verse 29. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does for the church. It's amazing when you think about what Jesus did for us. It's astronomical when I think about what he went through on that cross. For me, thinking to myself as a sinner, when I make mistakes, when I fall down, and I say, Jesus still did that for me. For the people that spat on him as he was being crucified, he did it for them. It is such a blessing that we have to have a Savior who did that for us. As we continue on, for we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife. For the two will become one flesh. So after you get married, you are supposed to stay with your parents, right? Right? Is that what it says? No. Now, I understand there are certain circumstances where this may happen temporarily. It is not meant to be a permanent thing when two people are joined in marriage and they live with their parents. That's not God's design. God's design, as we're reading here, is one man and one woman. Now, I know it's 2021 again, and you may not have been in a household like this. I don't know what your household looked like. It could have been two moms. It could have been two dads. You could have been raised by your grandmother. You could have been raised by your aunt, a cousin, someone else. I don't know your situation, but we have a plan. And just because your plan, your life didn't start that way, you have the choice to choose your own plan as you move forward with one man and one woman as God designed. So verse 32, this is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you must also love his wife as he loves himself. And the wife must respect her husband. Donnie picked on the husbands out there. Wives, how do you respect your husbands? I see a lot more wives in this general area over here. So what does that look like? Wives, respect your husbands. It's not rhetorical. I'll pick on you, Mom. Care for and love them as yourself. Anyone else? Any other wives out there? I guess y'all don't respect your husbands. I'm joking. I'm joking. Miss Holloway, what do you think? Steve said he's speechless. So, could I force Candace into being submissive? Yes, I could. I'm a lot bigger, a lot stronger, a lot faster. I could force her into being submissive. Now, she would tell you otherwise, but I could do that. That is an option on the table. Am I going to do that? No, I'm not going to do that because that's not what Christ will want. That's not the plan that we have laid out here. He says, do as I did, show sacrifice, show that mutual submissiveness between you two. I wonder if someone just your general thoughts on this passage as we just read through. Do we have any general thoughts, reactions to this? Any questions? Yes, sir, Mark. Absolutely. Thank you, Mark. Other thoughts? Yes, sir.
What's the difference?
What's the difference?
Love versus respect.
What do you think?
There is none.
Was that a rhetorical question?
No, I'm asking. If that's too much on the spot, well, I won't put you on the spot. I think you're on the right lines here. I think a husband, as we are the head of the household, as the Bible describes, not to be demeaning or not say, puff your chest out and say, I'm the man, you must be submissive, you must respect me. But it's kind of like when we give respect saying, I cherish you, I'm showing you respect. Whereas the woman with the love, it's more of an endearing, caring, compassionate thing that the man is supposed to do to his wife to show her he loves her through his actions. Both of them are shown through actions, I think, both respect and love. It can look different to some people how they're loved, and it can look different to some men how they are respected. I think we have a general idea of it, how we do, how you respect your parents is pretty much what men generally want, and how you would love a child is typically how you would love your wife. Obviously a little bit different in a marriage scenario. Other thoughts? Yes, sir. Absolutely.
No matter what it came from, you know, why the marriage went in and stuff. And to this end, when she died, my mom, my dad was right there with me when my mom died.
Right.
And it showed me that my dad loved my mom to death, no matter what, you know, what the divorce caused.
Absolutely. So what about when there is not love and there is not respect? Prior to marriage, I would encourage you to find couples who are older, who have been married, who have been to the thick of things. Have coffee with them. Take them out to dinner. Go to their house. Say, what did you do? How can we model our marriage after the success that you've had? Obviously, pray before marriage. Pray for that spouse. If you're not dating someone right now, pray for that person. Say, God, give me that right husband. Give me that right wife in the future. Pray about it. If you're in the marriage and things are going south, there's not respect, there's not love, pray about it again. Also, seek counseling. I cannot recommend this enough. I will be honest, Candace and I have been through counseling ourselves. It has been a phenomenal thing of bringing out things that we would not have thought of ourselves, that we could not have learned in a journey of just asking friends, asking parents, asking loved ones. Great thing. And also, prior to marriage, what are you going to do?
Marriage counseling.
Thank you. And you're also going to do what? I've said it numerous times. Choose wisely that individual. Pray together. Talk about what respect and what love looks like to you. Because it is different to a lot of people. Candace is a very affectionate person. How she likes love is me showing her lots of affection. I am not a natural hand holder walking down the street. That's just not my personality. That's not who I am. But I know that Candace likes that. She appreciates that. She enjoys that. And that's my way of being submissive to her needs for love. Donnie, do you have any other thoughts? Do you want to share wrapping up class tonight?
Yeah, one.
Okay.
Are you done?
Yeah.
Let's have a hand for Chris's preparation. Thank you, Chris. Yeah, I was going to mention, I am a very type A person, so I list everything I'm going to do that day, and then I'm like, check, 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 check. And then Julie is a type B person, so she'll call me in the middle of the day, even right at the end of the day, and go, hey, do you mind going and doing this, this, and this? And I'm like, oh, that's not on my list. Huh? What are you talking about? I can't do that. I'm a type A. I don't say that, but this is what I'm thinking. So what I do instead is say, yes, if I can do it, I'm going to fit it in. Yes, And I go do it, and I'm like, hey, she asked me to do something when I got to class, and I'm like, but class is starting in 5 minutes. She's like, can you do this real quick? I'm like, yes. And then I did it, and I showed it to her on the phone, and she's like, I love you, I love you, I love you. And I'm like, hey, worth it. So even when you don't feel like doing something, or it's uncomfortable, or it goes against your personality, do it anyway. Show respect. If I say I forgot, it's okay once. If I say forgot again, it's okay maybe twice. But continually doing that does not show respect for your spouse or for your loved one. Show respect and think about others in reverence. Submit to others. All right. Let's go ahead and pray out. Wes Phillips, come on up. Yes, go ahead.